We're going to head to the UK a little early now. Our correspondent is Matthew Paris, and there are no more sleeps. Matthew, those polls are starting to tighten a little when it comes to the possible outcomes. Welcome.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. They have been tightening, and they've been tightening gradually, really, over the last 3 weeks. And the last couple of days, they've tightened quite a bit more. It still looks to me as though Boris Johnson is going to get an absolute majority of perhaps 30 or 40 seats. But the margin of error is such that it is imaginable now that we might have a hung parliament rather than a parliament with an absolute Conservative majority. There is no prospect of an absolute Labour majority at the moment.
Those polls tightening in a way that saw, I think, some YouGov figures was something like a 68-seat majority last week, but now we're down
That's
to 28.
Right.
And I think everyone accepts, don't they, that polling is such a problematic concept at the moment that once you're down to 20-something seats, it's very tight.
That's exactly right. And polling, of course, if the polling is about what people have done or do think, that's fine. But if it's about what they're going to do, they don't know. A lot of people still don't know which way they're going to vote. And the big thing people don't know, because it's going to be apparently a very rainy, snowy, windy day tomorrow, people don't know whether in the event they're going to turn out or not. And what they call differential abstention can often make a very big difference indeed. But I would say that there is a sort of quiet confidence in the Conservative Party, although they are talking up how tight it is because they want to get their supporters out, a quiet confidence that they're going to win, but not by as much as they wanted. And it's partly, I think, undecideds deciding which way to come, but it is also that Boris Johnson has had a really bad couple of days. You perhaps have seen in New Zealand about a little boy who was on the floor of an accident and emergency place because there was no bed for him. And a reporter approached Boris Johnson with his mobile phone with a picture on it and asked what he thought of him. Johnson refused to look at the picture, and he kept refusing to look at the picture and finally grabbed the mobile phone and put it in his pocket. People didn't like that. And yesterday he jumped into a refrigerated lorry in order to escape the cameras of a morning television program. The morning television programme was live, and Boris Johnson's publicity person then swore into the camera in the most appalling language to the evident shock of the two interviewers, while Boris Johnson was, as it were, hiding in a refrigerated lorry. It hasn't helped him. None of this has.
What has determined the way the campaign has fallen, if anything? Or are we just... It's like watching a statistical return to the mean, the situation that's been split almost evenly along Brexit lines.
I think it's partly Brexit, Catherine, but there's something else, which is that neither of the two leaders, neither Boris Johnson nor Jeremy Corbyn, are liked or trusted, and the polls show that to be the case. But Jeremy Corbyn arouses more hostility and anxiety than Boris Johnson does, and so I would say that Boris Johnson has had two big pluses in the message that he's got across. One is get Brexit done, which he repeats ad nauseam. Everyone's sick of it, but it's cut through. And the other is, do you want Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister? And even a lot of Labour MPs, and there have been off-the-record briefings from Labour MPs, even a lot of Labour MPs don't. So it's fear of Jeremy Corbyn and a desperate longing to get Brexit done is probably what's going to get this man his majority, even though he's not really very much liked or trusted.
And are there any other significant movers? The Scottish National Party looks like it's going to pick up a few seats. The Lib Dems look like they've cribbed a little bit more off Labour, but the overall picture the same.
The overall picture is the same. The Lib Dem, the SNP, the Scottish Nationalists, have been quite a big issue because it does look as though they might support a Labour government if the Labour Party were in a minority government situation. So, you know, back to conversations about second independence referendum and all that, which nobody really wants to hear in England.
What happens next, by the way? You know, if they returned with, say, a slim majority, but a legislative majority seats-wise, then what?
Well, if he has a slim overall majority, if Boris does, then he goes to the palace, he becomes prime minister, And the first thing he does, of course, is try to get the withdrawal agreement, which he describes as being oven ready, and in a sense it is, tries to get the withdrawal agreement through Parliament, which he'll probably succeed in doing. If there is a hung Parliament and no one has an overall majority, well, that no party wants to cooperate with the Tories or put the Tories in power. So it would then be Jeremy Corbyn who goes to the palace and says, I think I can get enough support from the other parties. And he would then totter off down the road of his premiership, hoping that he was going to get a bit of support from the SNP and from the Lib Dems, so that they're not going to form a coalition with him.
I daren't go there in some ways, but has this been a missed opportunity for Labour? Is this also the story of its unresolved split within its party over what the Labour Party should be, right down to who should lead it?
Oh, Catherine, if the Labour Party had a halfway decent and popular leader, they would be streets ahead. Now, Boris Johnson is a highly controversial figure. He's not liked or trusted. The Tories have obviously mucked up the attempt to organise our departure from the European Union, and any halfway decent Labour leader would be streets ahead now. But they've got stuck with someone who is seen as a hard left ideological Marxist who had a lot of sympathy for the IRA and Hezbollah and all that kind of thing. And the British public just aren't ready for that kind of thing.
However, the party, if anything, has seen its moderates, as they are dubbed, the other side of the spectrum within Labour, departing at a rate of knots, right down to Tom Watson, the deputy. He's out of politics now too.
Yeah, Tom Watson himself just kind of suddenly gave up. And one or two of them have left and become independents. An awful lot more, and this is not the sort of thing that gets headlines, are simply not standing in this election, and so won't be there in the next parliament. But it is still the case that Jeremy Corbyn does not really have the support of the parliamentary Labour Party. He's got no more than about a third of them, but he's the only leader they've got. And there was a conversation, the Labour health spokesman, John Ashworth, told a Tory friend over the telephone that he didn't think that Boris Johnson was any good, that Boris Johnson was... he didn't think that Jeremy Corbyn was any good. Jeremy Corbyn was a problem. Jeremy Corbyn was even a security problem to the British state, and the security services wouldn't be able to cooperate with him. And this Tory friend appears to have recorded the conversation, and the whole thing has been broadcast. So, you know, Jonathan Ashworth is now telling everybody that, oh, he's been a fool, he should never have trusted the discretion of his friend, but it's all out.
Just a quick word on this. It's interesting, the NHS was one of Labour's bylines, wasn't it? You know, that the NHS would be for sale under a Conservative government. Not directly related, but an interesting story given what has happened recently in the United States is that Amazon is to get free use of health data under a deal with the NHS. What's that about, Matthew?
It is actually directly related. You are quite right that Amazon has negotiated with the British government, with the National Health Service, to get the use of NHS data. I should make clear that they're not going to get the data on individuals, so people are not going to get contacts from Amazon saying, I hear you're having trouble with your hemorrhoids, you know, here's a number of possible remedies. That won't happen. But the data has been sold, as it were, to Amazon. And not for a very high price, just for Amazon saying they're going to help the NHS with a number of apps, this, that, and the other. But the way it's directly related is we do now know that the US side in the trade negotiation talks between America and the United Kingdom is very interested in getting NHS data to American pharmaceutical.
Of course they are. It's valuable, valuable information.
Extremely valuable. I mean, it's the biggest health organization in the world, the National Health Service, and they do have a vast and coordinated data system, and it must be worth a huge amount of money to anybody who wants to sell drugs, services, medical appliances, or whatever. Now, there's no indication the British government is agreeing to this, but we do now know that that's what the Americans want.
It is also the privatising of mass epidemiological data that could be of use to a public health system, one would have thought.
Yes. I mean, there's a very good case to be made for everybody sharing all their data with everybody else, but that isn't what's being suggested. It's being suggested that exclusive rights could be bought to these data, and that can't be in anyone's interest.
Matthew, it's going to be a long and interesting evening. Thank you. I hope you've gone off and voted, or are about to. Matthew Paris in the UK.